All right. We're continuing our studies in the third book of the Bible called Leviticus. This is the book usually when you'll hear testimonies of people, this is usually when they close the Bible and they're reading. Most testimonies I've heard, people read a little in Genesis and then a little in Exodus and then they give up in Leviticus. This book, to the tribe of Levi, is written to the priests, and really, if you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, this book is, you won't get anything out of it. If you do have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you still need a lot of prayer to get things out of this book, because the book is written particularly from an historical standpoint to the tribes as they were wandering in the wilderness keeping the tabernacle. And in this particular book, as you know, it is written for the point after Exodus, after deliverance, after redemption, after God working his way down to men and redeeming men. Leviticus is now looking at man's approach unto God and the prescribed rites and rituals that God laid down for the priests in the proper approach unto him. And this particular book, 27 chapters, tonight we come to the middle portion of the book, chapter 13 and 14. And these are the two longest chapters in this particular book. And the topic that's going to be covered in these two particular chapters is the 13th chapter is going to be the discernment of leprosy. And then the 14th chapter will be the ceremonial rites and rituals of cleansing the leper. And it's a sad reminder that the Lord has to place in the middle of this book about holiness and approach and worship to God, that he has to take the middle portion of the book and make it the two longest chapters in the book and focus on a dreaded disease like leprosy. And it's a picture that he's painting here. Now, I don't know if you know much about the disease of leprosy, and I will do a little teaching on it tonight. Not too much, but just an idea to give us a thought as to why the Lord paints the portrait. The Bible is really a picture book in words. And the Lord, especially through the Old Testament, is painting portraits throughout the Old Testament. Now the greatest portraits throughout the Old Testament are those of the Lord Jesus Christ. But simultaneously, the Lord has to paint the portrait of man. And the reason why Jesus came is the condition that we're in. And the leprosy is going to kind of point out and picture for us what it's like as to how we are in our natural state. Verses 1 through 8, why don't we read and then we'll comment. Leviticus chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then shall he be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. Now, leprosy, you probably all heard of it. You've probably never seen a case of it. I studied in medical school. I went through 4 years of pre-med. I went through 4 years of medical school. And then I went through 3 years of postgraduate training in clinics doing study. Never saw a case of it in 11 years of training. Saw pictures of it, never saw the disease. It's pretty much at this point in time under control by the medicines we have. We have learned subsequently the cause of it. There's a small type of a bacterium. It's a bacillus. It's in the shape of a rod. Curious. Sometimes the Lord uses the rod to spank. It's in the shape of a rod. And that bacillus is related to the tuberculosis bacillus. And it gets in and it causes a type of a disease where it attacks the skin or the nerves or sometimes both. It's one of the most feared diseases, and in the old times it was a dreadedly feared disease. There was no treatment for it. And it would work its way through, and it would work its way through the nervous system and work its way into the skin, and it would cause tremendous changes in the appearance of the person as it would work its way through into the face and the head and the skin and the nervous system. And as it affected the peripheral nerves, you would tend to lose feeling and you would accidentally burn yourself and not realize it, or you would sleep on a particular limb and not roll over in your sleep. I mean, we don't realize how much is actively going on even when we're sleeping, how we lie for so long on one side and then we turn to the other so the blood flow is restored. Well, when you lose feeling like that, you would fall asleep and lie on it and for a long period of time, and the nerve didn't remind the body to move and the blood flow would shut off. And then limbs would begin to fall off. You would find first the loss of fingers and then hands. And sometimes if they fell asleep on their face, the ischemia to the nose would cause damage there and the nose would fall off. Or if they fell asleep on the eye and then the nervous system of the eye was attacked, sometimes the eye would literally fall out. There was, I was reading a missionary's report from the 1800s named William Thompson. And he was a missionary out of England that headed back to the Middle East in the late 1800s. So that would be the region of what would be Israel today, but it wasn't Israel back then, and it wasn't developed back then. It was inhabited mostly by nomadic people on camels and desert people and stuff like that. And there was still some ruins of the Holy Lands at that time and things like that. There were a few Jews and mostly a lot of Arab people, but leprosy was there. And as he was approaching, he just wrote in his horror, because the way it works is, you know, the hair begins to fall off from the head and the eyebrows, the nails begin to loosen and fall off, and then the fingers drop off and decay, and then the gums get absorbed and the teeth will fall out and disappear, and then slowly the nose might get destroyed or fall off, and the eye might fall out, and the tongue and the palate are consumed, and they gurgle and they make these sounds as they lose the ability to speak. And he says, I was approaching the Jaffa Gate at Jerusalem, and I was startled by the sudden apparition of a crowd of beggars without eyes, without noses, without hair, and they held up handless arms, and unearthly sounds gurgled through their throats without palates, and this loathsome and fatal disease was spreading in the area, and it was a dreadful thing to get this disease. Now think about it again. As I was reading through, I'll tell you something. I went through my medical textbooks. There's very little on it because we don't deal with it here in the United States of America. You go through the principles and practices of internal medicine, and it's not in there, or just a very small entry, a one paragraph. It just tells us that they use the sulfone drugs, and that's it. But we really don't deal with it much here, and you don't find a lot of cases of it. I guess there are some leprosariums, and there are still a few thousand people that have come here from other countries that have it. I guess they estimate might be 2,000 cases in the nation here, and they're pretty well taken care of and treated. But as I was reading through the textbooks, they believe that this disease traced it back, began in, and I'm not surprised, Exodus 15. And the doctors kind of found out kind of what the Bible says. Exodus 15. The medical studies have found elephantiasis gregorum is a disease, it's a contagious disease that appears to have been started and then carried out of the region of Exodus chapter 15, and it would be verse 26. And this is when they're during the time of their exodus. And the Lord said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And it appears to have begun in Egypt, is what the medical studies have found, tracing it all the way back to there, and was carried out of there by various different people groups as they traveled out of there. Apparently, what the Lord is showing you there is that it was a form of judgment. Ultimately, we're going to find, and I hope you know this, behind all disease, ultimately the cause is sin. If there were no sin, there would be no disease, and there would be no death. The wages of sin is death. And midway between life and death is usually illness and disease, and that's part of the prepayment of the wages of sin. And the Lord's telling the people right here that if you obey me, then I will not put these diseases upon you like I put there. It's from Egypt. We talked about this the other day. This disease begins in a way where it grows slowly in the system, and often the person is not aware that it's inside of them. And that's why they're going to have these discerning tests through the chapter, that the priest wants to catch it early, because often they don't realize it. It's just a boil. It's just a scab, the person thinks. It's just a hair that's changed color. And they have to be brought to the priest so that he can diagnose it early and begin the work on preparing this person to be free from it. It starts early, and it works in, and the person is not aware of it. It affects the nervous system. And the way it affects it is it dulls the nervous system. Now, Egypt is a type of the flesh. This disease was in Egypt, in the flesh. This sin is in our flesh. And what the sin does is it works its way through our flesh, is it dulls our spiritual nervous system. What's that? It's our conscience. That's what it does. Our conscience is dulled by sin. It's not heightened by sin. It is dulled by it. And we find ourselves doing damage to ourselves, lying on very important, vital, spiritual organs inside of ourselves and doing damage. There are two major varieties of the leprosy. There's the leprosy called the tuberculoid leprosy. It's known as the black leprosy. The black leprosy is the one that it spreads very much on the skin and is very evident from a distance and can be seen very easily. There's another type called the lepromatous leprosy. It's known as the white leprosy. We'll see it through here as he talks about it being white. This is the one that circles its way through the nervous system and often is not even evident to the outsider. It takes someone with a trained eye to look at it and go, that's a form of the white leprosy. The black leprosy is very contagious. As it affects the skin, the open wounds put the bacillus, the rod bacteria, falls out, and then one can get it by contact. The white leprosy, the inner one that works its way through the nervous system that only sometimes the patient knows, but no one else knows unless they're very careful in observation, the white one isn't as contagious. You can live with someone like that, like Naaman the leper in Syria, and can lean on his king's hand and do all that work and not cause him to catch the leprosy. And the pictures would be evident to you and I that are Bible students, because there are, although the Bible uses three words for sin, there really are only two types of sin. There's iniquity and transgression. And iniquity is the inner spiritual thoughts and intents of the heart that one could have and look upon a woman with lust and absolutely nobody knows. And dulling himself on the inside to it, and nobody really knows unless they're very trained in it. That's the white leprosy. It isn't even contagious because it's iniquity, keeping to yourself. But then there's the outer tuberculoid that bursts forth, that one can be seen from a distance and tell, well, that's a leper, easily spotted. The one that's so contagious, that's transgression. Those are the sins of the flesh. In order to commit that adultery, that transgression, I need to drag someone else in with me and contagious them and catch them with it. And that's the type of the other leprosy. So those two forms are evident. Now, as we look through today in chapter 13, so we see historically A real disease started in Egypt has spread. Spiritually, we see it as a picture and a type of sin inside of us, whether it be the iniquity. And by the way, sin is ascribed to the soul, right? So either the spirit sins through iniquity, stains the soul, the body sins through transgression, stains the soul, and the soul is the repository for sin, and ultimately it is the soul that's judged whether the spirit or the body committed the sin. It doesn't matter, the sin gets ascribed to the soul. And I just want to see that the flesh pays, whether you've got the nervous leprosy, or you've got the skin tubercular leprosy, the body ultimately pays. So we see that now doctrinally. If you want to see the doctrinal application, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Historical, we see it's a form of judgment from Egypt, Exodus 26. Spiritually, we see it as a type of transgression, iniquity, sin in the body. Doctrinally, the picture would be here in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and of course the Lord is giving the second giving of the law, and he's promising through Moses in verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, he's going to tell them about a number of things that he's going to do for them in the land. And they're supposed to behave a particular way. Verse 6, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. For those of you that are Bible students, that's kingdom of heaven, heaven above earth. You know, that's their rule spiritually. But then he says, verse 14, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Verse 15, and the Lord will take away from thee when you're in the land and you're doing as I say, all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, that would be leprosy, which thou knowest upon thee doctrinally, but will lay them upon all that hate thee. And doctrinally, just to understand that what the Lord intends to do one day is to put the scourge of leprosy on all people that reject his son Jesus Christ as he gets ready to prepare them for a lake of fire. You will see him give the judgment into their body and then into their soul as he does the final judgment. That's what will happen. You are either saved and you're going to find you be cleansed of your leprosy, or you are going to bear it in your body, and he'll put it on all those. All right, so now let's get back to where we were in Leviticus chapter 13 and looking at the paragraph marking 1 through 8. Now, this is obviously very serious. And so the first thing that we're going to look at in verses 1 through 8 is going to be a picture of discerning new cases of leprosy as they're brought forth. And what they're looking at are these things here. Verse 2, when a man have in the skin of his flesh a rising. Now a rising would be the equivalent of, you ever have when your skin starts to swell up? It'll be a swelling that would occur inside the skin. It will usually be a fluid swelling looking kind of like a boil, something like that, just a swelling, a rising. The skin begins to rise up. Or a scab. Now, when you're thinking of a scab, you're thinking in your mind of kind of like you cut yourself and there's some bleeding, and then the platelets form and the little plug forms and that little red scab forms. Okay, now that would be the common form of a scab, and that would be very understood. I mean, hey, good, I bumped myself, I know that scab. Suppose a scab appeared out of nowhere without any prior injury that you're aware of, and all of a sudden there's a crusting growth on top of your skin, kind of tubersome in appearance, and this is the tuberculoid leprosy beginning to bubble up to the surface, and the scab is starting to come there. All right, when he has that, so whether it be the rising with the fluid or the hard, crusty, tuberculoid type of scab, or a bright spot. Sometimes what appears would be an area of the skin that's discolored, and there's a brightness in the center of that discolored area. Leper, spot, like a spot is appearing. That's one of the other ways that it appears. Their spot is not as our spot. It's a different type of a spot. And that type of a spot appears with a centralized bright area in the middle of it. When these things come in the skin of his flesh, and it looks like, boy, this could possibly be leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, under one of his sons, the priests. This is going to be a job that God is entrusting the priests to. He's doing it to the nation Israel, again, always to teach them the difference between the clean and the unclean. The nation Israel had to live a life where on a daily basis they were judging good versus evil, light versus dark. This is the way God wanted them to think. He wanted to train their mind constantly to think this way. This is what he'd like to do with you and me. He would like for us to live a type of life as we go through life, we're not pushed around by the circumstances, but we have certain principles, and we take the principles and we put them through the sieve and the filter of the circumstances. We put them through the sieve and the filter of the principles that we have, that God showed us, and we learn to discern, is this good? Is this evil? Is this light? Is this dark? If you live by principle, your life will go easily. If you live by circumstance, you'll get batted around like a fly. You need to get principles. And so the Lord is teaching him. He's saying, I want you to think principle in every part of your life, including the health of your body and how you take care of your body, in addition to this being a picture of sin. He just wants him to think that way. So they had to be brought to the priest. The priest was the most important thing in Israel. The priest and the prophets were how God related to his people. And so this is how it was brought. Now today, speaking of sin, if anyone has something going on in their life, like an inflamed area that's bothering them, or a certain scab of a troublesome area in a relationship, or a certain bright spot of maybe a high-mindedness or headiness that's starting to pick up in their lives, what they need to be to do is to come to Aaron, the greater Aaron. That's the high priest Jesus. And you need to get before Jesus with this. This is why it's so important in confession that you're confessing before the Lord. If it's sin, he'll let you know. It's leprosy. You'll find out if it's not sin, it's just a fault. Well, that's okay. That's clean. That's just part of your nature. You do those kinds of things. And you'll find these things as you go, but you've got to get to Aaron, the high priest. You have to bring these things before him. The priest shall look on the plague, verse 3. And the priest will make the discernment as to whether it is leprosy or not. If it is, the hair and the plague is turned white, because what's happening is now the nerve is killing off the blood supply to the hair there, and no melanin is getting there, and it's turning white all of a sudden. And in other words, this is deeper than the skin. This goes beyond skin deep. This is going into the core of your personality. Then this is unclean. This is leprosy, and pronounce him unclean. And then one of the things he was done is he's put out from the camp. He's quarantined. He's put away for a while. It's something that medicine has learned is good to do. You quarantine someone. We have rooms of isolation at the hospital with infectious diseases, and we put them in these isolation rooms is where we put them. And that's what the Lord would like to do with us sometimes when we're in a position of sinning, is quarantine us and get us away from others so we don't affect them. So now, here's what happens. Verse 4, if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and it's not deeper than the skin, and the hair's not white, then what does he do? The priest doesn't make a quick decision. He puts him apart for 7 days and gives it opportunity. Why? Because you don't want to be rash with the judgment. You want to give it time. And this is true medically and it's true spiritually. You don't jump to conclusions. First off, in your own life, you got to learn to have grace with yourself and recognize and work with the Lord and give yourself time. Am I really struggling with this sin, or is this just part of my weak fault nature, and I don't know? And you give it some time. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, verse 5. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, must still shut him up 7 more days. Then on the 14th day, the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. I've had some time. You know, we have church, and we preach from the scriptures, and we pray that the Lord does the work through the ministry of the word. We have times of invitation and times for prayer. This is an opportunity. You come forward, and this is your first time forward, and 7 days later you come forward again, And 7 days later, you come forward again, or maybe you're in your own closet, you do this, and you're working with the Lord, and the Lord will bring the peace unto your soul. The truth is first pure and then peaceable. And if it's just something that he has grace with, and this is not leprosy, this is not a scathing sin that you're committing here that's affecting others, he'll let you know. But you have to take the time. You have to learn these things. It's part of your personal walk with him, too. Folks, we're all lepers. You're going to find out as far as God sees it. You're going to see later on in this chapter. And so how are you approaching Aaron with these things and giving him time to work with you on certain issues? However, verse 7, if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he had been seen of the priest for the cleansing, he'll be seen of the priest again. And if the priest seeth that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a leprosy. We got a new case of leprosy here. Now, ideally, you're going to find this is going to work mostly with lost people. This is the way the Lord brings people to repentance. He begins to show them the problem, and they come forward the first time, and they think about it, and then they hear the word the second time, and then finally, hopefully, they come to the conclusion, agreeing with the Lord in verse 8, that I'm unclean. And they ask for salvation. And these are how new cases are diagnosed. And this is one of the ways the Lord works with people. He had to do this with me. Believe me, I didn't get it the first time. I came forward and thought I was okay. So he put me at a stay for 7 days and brought me back with more Bible reading and put me at a stay and brought me back. And finally, he was able to convince me, you're unclean. And the new case was diagnosed. And I recognized I have a serious condition on my hand here. But in the next verses, 9 through 17, he's going to look at old cases. And now we're going to start getting in our territory, folks, for those of us that have been saved. And the looking at old cases is something that the priest had to deal with. And here's how it goes. Now, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, verse 9, then shall he be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it's an old leprosy, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not shut him up, for he's unclean. And so what he's showing you here is this is a picture of a chronic case of leprosy. That's us. Okay? I don't know about you, but when I preach on the streets, I tell people I'm a sinner. Now, I tell them I'm a saved sinner. But I'm a sinner. I'm a leper. But I'm a saved sinner. And then I tell them they're lepers too, only they're not saved. And they need to come forward and get the cleansing that they can get. But this is the picture for you and me, is now we're known lepers. Verse 9, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, that would be me. That's me. And then behold, if there be a rising white in the skin, and the hair turned white, and there be a quick raw flesh, it's an old leprosy. What this is a picture of is I've been cleansed, and yet there's an old part of my flesh that's opening up and coming forth and manifesting itself just the way it did before I was saved. The sin that doth so easily beset me, or you. You know, we all have particular sins that when the Lord was bringing us forward into salvation, that was the thing he was dealing with. I mean, I had a particular one that he had to deal with me, to remind me that spot right there, that scab right there, Michael, that's the one we're focusing on. That's your leprosy. It was that area that I noticed leprosy. It wasn't here and it wasn't there. It was here. And then he cleansed it. And if that raw flesh start coming up again, that quick raw flesh, instead of the spirit subduing the body and putting it over, all of a sudden the flesh rises up and takes over the spirit again. When that comes up again, then the Lord has to say, that's unclean, Michael. You've got an old case that's coming back to the surface, and that's unclean. Now, one of the things he does initially with me, verse 11, he shall not shut him up, for he's unclean. In other words, he won't throw me out of the camp at that time. He won't make me leave the church initially. Why? This is one of the areas where he's going to try and work with me. This is one of the areas where he's going to, the grace of God, Jesus said, I will build my church. It's at the church where the exhortation and the edification and the comfort where the Lord's going to work. Initially, there'll come a point where he'll put me out. But initially, he's going to allow me to have the work at the church service. He's going to allow me to have the work in the prayer closet. He's going to allow me to have the work in the Bible. And he's not shutting me up. But he's bringing to my recognition, you old leper, you got an old sin popping up. You got a quick raw flesh rising in you. Now verse 12, if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, even from his head to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, then he shall throw him out. He shall pronounce him clean. Does that seem counterintuitive to you? Does it? You know what it is? It's a recognition of the guy in verse 9, 10, and 11 that got right again. And what he realized was, one of the things that allows the quick rising to come up in the flesh is when we get to the point where we begin to deny that we're still sinners. You see, this is why it's so important. This is why I'm so thankful that the manner of communication that we have around here, the way we speak, we're very free one with another of the fact that, as the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you and me. That we are sinners, and we're saved sinners, and we're comfortable with the fact that we're lepers. And yet we're all white. See, the whole body, head to toe, is white. What made us white? Right, Jesus made us white. But we recognize that we're whitened lepers, and we're still aware of that. And we keep that in the forefront of our mind. We have just enough fleas left on us to remind us we're dogs, okay? And that's what the Lord does by reminding us with the white leprosy, okay? That's what he's doing. That's very important. That's very important. And then at that point, the Lord says, you're clean again. You now know where you fit. You've now been humbled. You're not puffed up anymore. Because it's in the state of where you think you stand at this, where you fall. When you think you're okay and you don't realize you're leper anymore, then the quick raw flesh comes up and the old sins pop to their surface again. But on the humility of recognizing, I'm just a leper from head to toe, and I need to be in the camp, and I need to be of God's people, and I need to be close to the Lord, and I need to be worshiping, so I stay close to him, and then I get an opportunity to stay a clean white leper, recognizing in humility what I am. And that's the picture of what he's doing here. I mean, I read that. Did that make any sense to you when you read that? I think you throw the guy out. No, that's precisely the guy that understands exactly where he is. He's right there as a white leper at the foot of the cross again. He's back to where he started. He understands his condition. Amen. And that's what he's doing. The priest shall pronounce him clean. It's all turned white. And to verse 13, he's clean. Praise God. Leviticus 13:13. There's grace in that verse, because there's a lot of sin in there. But there's grace abounding at the end of that verse. Praise God. Verse 14. Now, by the way, the recognition of the condition is all through the Scriptures. Did you ever see the time when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up? I'm a man of unclean lips. I mean, he recognized he was a leper. When Daniel saw the vision in the 10th, my comeliness, he said, turn to, I can't remember what he said in Daniel 10, but it was something not good. I'm not good with memory, so forgive me. Daniel 10, therefore I was left alone in the great version, and my comeliness turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. That's how Daniel saw it. And when Paul saw it, you know what he said? I'm the chief of sinners. And this is a man in humble recognition that I'm just a leper from head to toe. That's all I am. And God says, you know what? That type of recognition, bring him back in the camp. He's clean. He's okay. He understands his condition. He's okay to be with me. But when you get to verse 14, in verse 14, but when a raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And verse 15, and the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce to him, he's unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It's a leprosy. What's that? It's a relapse. You say, I don't understand that. He just got cleansed. He just came back. He relapsed. Well, welcome to Christianity, folks. This is a hospital for sick sinners. We're sick here. We're not super saints. And so the Lord's painting the picture. It's going to come right back. Now notice, the priest shall pronounce him the plague. You have the plague. That's what he says. The priest shall pronounce him, it's unclean. How does he do that? From the pulpit. He'll call a spade a spade. He'll call a sin a sin. If you're at a place where the priest is doing his job in the pulpit, he'll be putting it out there. And if you come under the convicting word of it, once Jesus has fixed your leprosy and given you a new conscience and your nervous system works again, you'll be pricked by it and you realize, he's talking to me. You sit out there and you go, how did he know that? Well, if you're looking at me, I don't. Okay? You guys know me. All right. I mean, you know this much about me. How often do I call any of you on the phone? How often do I spend time with any of you? I don't. So if I know stuff about you, I don't. It's God. All I know is this book. And all I do up here is teach this book. And it's God working. I don't know anything about any of you. You know, and I don't want to. Because if I knew stuff about you, I wouldn't talk to you. But you don't want to know about me either. Because if you knew about me, you wouldn't listen to me. We all have our problems, and we're all lepers, and we all have our particular raw fleshes. But the thing is, what the Lord wants to do is keep us under the Word so the Word can continue to work on us, and the Lord will hit it unclean, 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 and then there's the time to come to the altar, and the time for the stay, and the time for the healing, and that's all the Lord's work. But that's just showing the relapse in verse 14 and 15. We all going to relapse. A just man falleth seven times 70, maybe, I don't know. He fall a lot. He falleth a lot. But he riseth up again. If he stays in the position where he will allow the good shepherd to lift him up by the hand. If he drifts from the good shepherd, he may just fall and stay in it. We need each other. We need the book. We need the prayer. We need the ministry of the word. And that's why it's so important. That's why he doesn't put us out of the camp the first time he sees the quick raw flesh rising up. But he brings the convicting word, and he reminds us. Praise God that he's faithful. Praise God that he's faithful. 14 and 15, you see the relapse. 16 and 17, if the raw flesh turn again and be changed into white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the plague be turned into white, the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. What does that mean? He repented. It's repentance. You're going to see the picture of the relapse and the repentance, and the relapse and the repentance. And the Lord is just drawing you nigh, draw nigh unto God. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just. And when you do that, he'll pour the white cleansing on you. Though your sins be as scarlet, he'll cleanse them all over again, and you come back to the priest. He shall come unto the priest. End of verse 16. Where else are you going to go? To the great high priest that's holy and harmless, undefiled and separate from sinners, and yet is touched in all points like we are and has compassion on us. And we come to the priest and with repentance, and he'll cleanse us. And that's the picture. Now, in the next paragraph, marking from 18 to 23, again in the discerning of the leprosy, the flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil, and is healed. And in the place of the boil, there be a white rising, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. And if when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in the sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. And the priest is looking here at particular sins. Now, a boil is, again, that fluid-filled area of the skin. It's usually more than just a serous fluid. It's often a pus inside of there, purulent with the bacteria inside of it. And when he looks at this particular thing, he sees this. I have a feeling this may have been what Job experienced in Job chapter 2, verse 7. And when you read that in Job 2, 7, it says when the devil left him and attacked him and brought the rod of God let him use the rod on him. It said, then so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes. He was given leprosy. is what he was given. Now this is something that the nation is going to go through in the time of Jacob's trouble. They are going to realize that they are spiritual lepers. And that plague may even rebirth itself at that particular time, despite all the modern medicines, because God is not impressed with medicines, and he could break out bacilluses of that variety that would be resistant to every drug known to mankind, and that thing would pick up again, and he very well may do it during the time of the tribulation. And so this boil starts going. So the priest is looking on it, and when he sees this, if it's the plague of leprosy, the boil is white, or it's reddish, or it has white hair, is what it said in those verses. And I thought about this thing, this boil. And sometimes, does your blood ever boil with anger? It's one of the things we get sometimes. You know, anger is one of the most difficult things for us to deal with as Christians. It really is. I mean, it's just part of our nature. I think it's part of, there's something about us now. Now, I know years ago, I guess, Julie, in the generation you grew up with, it was much more of a tempered thing. But now it seems that the anger just comes to the surface so much more. Maybe it's because there's more cars on the road. I don't know what there is. But there's just that anger. But that boil comes up, that reddish, that, you know how it gets, that red hot anger. And yet it's got the white hair. You still got that church face. You know, I'm really good. Just that hypocrisy. That type of thing. Well, the Lord wants you to know, hey, that's wrong. That's sin. That's sin. I mean, be angry, but sin not. I mean, there's a way for you to have anger, but it's a righteous anger. And by the way, I don't know if we ever talked about this. You know, Jesus got angry, but you better think about this very carefully. Jesus never got angry with anyone for what they did to him personally. That is not righteous anger. Jesus only got angry when someone else was oppressed. When the poor is oppressed, it maketh a wise man mad, I think it says in the book of Proverbs, or angry, something like that. That makes the wise man angry. When he saw the oppression of the poor and of the widow and of those that were scattered without a shepherd and they were being lied to, that made him angry. But not because somebody did something to him. And sometimes we get those boils. And we got that white hair, and we're just so, come on, man, who are we kidding? That's leprosy. That's leprosy. That's wrong. And so what does he do? Well, verse 21, the priest shall look on it. And behold, if there be no white hairs therein, and if be not lower than the skin, but it's somewhat dark, seems to have a little bit of a temper, but not too bad. We'll shut him up 7 days. But if it's spread abroad, much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a plague. If that thing has gotten a hold of you and that flesh is lusting against the spirit and getting on top with you, then you need some time with God and with his word so that he can cleanse that thing. Temperance is a fruit of the spirit. Patience is something you add to your faith. You've got to watch out for that boil and that red flesh, especially when you put the white hair in it, you know. But I don't think that goes on around here. But anyways, okay, we'll move on. We move on. All right. Verse 23, but if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it's a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. He's got righteous anger. He's got righteous anger. There is such a thing as righteous anger. I don't know what makes you mad. You know what makes me mad? It really makes me mad. It's people standing in a pulpit and lying to people when it comes to the state of their soul in eternity. People writing false Bibles. People giving false gospels. People telling about another Christ and another spirit. That really makes me mad. Other than that, not too many things make me mad. I figure it's going to happen anyways. I read the book. I already know what the ending is. Verse 24 through 28. He's going to look at another type of common thing that happens. Or if there be any flesh in the skin, whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it's a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. Now, one of the things that happens in the people that have leprosy, and sometimes those that are prone to it, is that they burn themselves accidentally. And so burns had to be examined by the priest sometime. I mean, there was a natural burn, and when a natural burn, it occurs a certain particular way, whether first or second, third degree, and it is a particular kind of healing process that it goes through. But if there's a burn that occurs, because of his underlying leprosy, it will go through a twisted healing process. It will not go through a normal healing process. And the priest would look upon it, and he would look for certain signs of the hair and certain signs for the depthness of it and determine whether or not it's a leprosy. Verse 26, if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but it be somewhat dark as it's healing up, the priest shall shut him up 7 days, and the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if it be spread much abroad in the skin, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it's the plague of leprosy. That would be the 27th verse. But if the bright spot, 28th, stay in its place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, then it's just a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it's an inflammation of the burning. It's the natural healing process that goes on with a burning. Now, the burning, the boil, was what bubbles up inside you. And hopefully it's a righteous anger, and that's okay. But if it's an unrighteous anger, and you get angry at other people, then that's a plague of leprosy. That's anger at others, from you outwards. The burning is how they affect you. The question is, how does your brother affect you? When you fall into the fire of another brother's anger, or another brother's shortcoming, or another brother's transgression, and it's going to happen, how do you respond to it? Do you get inflamed about it a little bit, but it's a normal healing process, and you think about it, and you pray, and you take the root of bitterness out, and you don't let it bother you, and you deal with it biblically? And there's different ways to deal with it biblically. You know, you can go to your brother and tell him. Usually what I do is first I go to the Lord and tell him. The first one, I got to get the thing right with them. This is just me, but I'm not saying you have to do it my way. This is a practical walk for me. Somebody does something to me, some brother, some sister does something to me. I go to the Lord, and I say, Lord, so-and-so did such and such. It made me mad. I've been thinking about it, I'm calming down, but I need to talk to you about it, and I need to know what to do about it, and how am I going to fix this thing, or what should I do? And I talk to the Lord first, before I even consider going to talking to someone else about a situation. I like to just lay it out before the Lord and let it work that way. I need to get this relationship right before I can get that relationship right. By the way, I really think that's biblical. I think it applies with everything. The bigger beam on the cross is the up and down one. It's got to be that one fixed first. And if I'm fixed on that properly, I can reach my arms out to others. But if I'm not fixed on that one and I just go carrying the cross beam out on my own, I might make a mistake. I need that relationship, me personally. Again, I think a lot of you are more spiritual than I am because I've talked with many of you. I'm not a spiritual man, so this is the way I have to do things. I go to the Lord first and try and figure out how am I going to work through this situation. And one of the things I do, honestly, this is me personally, is that I also pray. I say, Lord, in brother so-and-so's or sister so-and-so's life, can you work this thing in such a way where I can begin to see the healing of the relationship where you've even begun initially to work before I start to start opening my mouth, you know, and I do that. But that's me. But this, the difference between the boil, whether it's internal and how you go out with it, or the burn, whether it's external and how it comes to you, is your response a leprous response, or is it the inflamed response that's okay, but it's a normal healing response? These are the pictures that he's given for you here. Now, how much we have, Joe? 5 minutes? Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up tonight. So we get this far. We're only halfway through the chapter. Thanks, all of you, for listening to this. I know that Leviticus is hard, and I appreciate it, and we only got through half a chapter. I was hoping to get through the whole chapter. We'll have to take a few weeks to get through this material. So let's just take the time to pray. And, Lord, I thank you, and these are long chapters, and, you know, we'd like to get out of them in our flesh, but maybe you want us to park here for a few weeks because there's things you want to teach us. And, Lord, I do mostly thank you that in 1993 you showed me that I was a leper and that, Lord, you were willing to cleanse me. You were willing to cleanse me of the leprosy. And Lord, I do pray that you will help remind me when the quick raw flesh rises up and bring me back and heal me again, Lord. And I just pray for all of us here for a heart of repentance, Lord, and we're so thankful that you're faithful and true and you will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we give thanks in Jesus' name, amen.